Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Dennis Dollar. Dennis is the chairman of the National Credit Union Administration. And joining us in our conversation is Deborah Kammer.
Dennis, what are some of the new technologies you're seeing credit unions use to better serve their customers?
You know, Deborah, we've spent a lot of this discussion this morning talking about change and the fact that the environment is changing and the dynamic nature of the financial services industry is changing. And I would never have dreamed some of the technological advances of the last 5 years in financial services. When I left my credit union to come to the NCUA board, there was less than 1% of the credit unions that even had a website, let alone interactive home banking. Today, I just got our most recent statistics that showed over 10.7 million credit union members are now using online internet banking at their credit union's website. And when you realize that there are a little over 80 million credit union members nationwide, I mean, that's a remarkably high percentage in a very short period of time. We've gone from a period where perhaps 7 years ago, there were very few credit unions who had anything more than an informational website, to now where over half the credit unions have an interactive website actually able to do transactions. And very likely 5 years from now, a credit union will not be able to compete in the marketplace without that. I mean, that is a required change and adjustment for credit unions, but it's also for us, because all of a sudden now we have to have our oversight program much more flexible and adaptable to looking at online transactions, online security. When I said a moment ago that we're going to be a more risk-focused examination program, and if you're going to be risk-focused in today's market, one of the things you have to look at is the security of internet transactions. So I think that we have seen change. We will continue to see change. I'm not a very good crystal ball type of guy to know exactly what the changes are going to be 5 years from now or 10 years from now. But one thing I know for sure, there will be changes, and they will be more expensive to deliver, and that more and more of credit unions, 80-plus million and growing members, will be demanding those changes to be provided and those services to be provided, and more of them will be technologically based. And credit unions will have to walk that line from being high-tech to also being high touch, and they don't want to become the large impersonal financial institutions that many traditional banks have become. That's a part of the credit union difference, a part of the credit union uniqueness. But yet, their members are demanding more and more of those services, so they've got to be able to find a way to provide those services, technologically advanced and costly though they may be, while still maintaining that high touch that has been the nature of what a credit union is. So it's going to be a challenge for credit unions. It's going to be a challenge for us, but it is one that I believe that credit unions are up to, and I know that we as an agency are adapting to, and our strategic plan is very much focused towards being that type of an agent of change without lowering standards in the process.
But I will ask you to pull your crystal ball out and talk about your vision for NCUA in the next 5 to 10 years.
Well, we do have a vision statement for NCUA and a strategic plan that we this month updated for the 2003 to 2008 period. And one of the primary focuses of it, if you can capsulize it, yes, there are certainly human resources aspects, there are efficiency aspects, but one of the true foundations of this strategic plan is that we want to be much more outwardly oriented. So many times when you do a strategic plan, you focus inwardly. How can we restructure a department? How can we cut down on some of our procurement costs? All those internal type of things. And they're certainly important to study. But when you're in the regulatory arena, particularly regulating an industry in which the marketplace is changing as dramatically as it is in the financial services delivery arena, you've got to be outward looking in your strategic plan. And so we have tried to draw a plan that is designed towards a maximum of earned flexibility. I want to emphasize the word earned flexibility. We put in place a regulation that we call RegFlex, and an entire approach that we call RegFlex, which is based upon earned regulatory flexibility, not granting it to everyone, not deregulation, which removes the regulatory requirement for everyone regardless of their performance, but to realize that based upon a risk-based analysis that some credit unions don't need to have the same regulatory requirements applied in the same way as others, and we need to allow them to earn greater empowerment. And I think that that is putting in place a regulatory regime, if you will, that is adaptable to these changes that we know are going to come, even though we don't know what all of them are.
How will you measure the success of an initiative like that?
I think you measure the success of any initiative in the foreseeable future by the overall results of the industry. And if you regulate an industry, although we regulate individual credit unions, our responsibility is to them, but also to the overall credit union industry. And through that, to the members, those 80 million members who've put their hard-earned dollars in those credit unions. I think if 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we see stronger credit unions, we see more credit union members, we see credit unions who have a more diversified field of membership and therefore are safer, sounder, and stronger. If we see credit unions that are offering more products and services to more members from all walks of life, then I think that we will have been successful. One of the challenges when you're in an appointed position, such as I and my colleagues on the board are in, is that we have a fixed term. 6 years is our term. Many times, if you are really going to try to be visionary, you're going to put in place programs that you will not be able to measure the ultimate success of while you are there. But rather than just dealing with the problems of today and the challenges of today and the opportunities of today, I think that it's incumbent upon us to look at tomorrow and to try to put in place things like RegFlex, Access Across America, AIM, that may not necessarily pay dividends today. Access Across America, for example, those 33 million Americans that 2 years ago were not eligible to join a credit union that are now eligible. It'll be 10 years from now, 20 years from now, before we know how many of them actually join, whether or not they get a loan, whether they start a small business, whether or not they're able to break themselves away from the pawn shops and the check cashers and are able to bring about financial self-sufficiency, maybe home ownership because they have access to a credit union. But I believe it's worthwhile in doing, even though the ultimate evaluation period will be down the line. That's what visionary leadership is all about. And this is one thing that contrasts a little bit to my days in the in elective office. Tendency in elective office many times is to try to come up with some project that you can have your picture taken in front of for the brochure for your next reelection campaign. Immediate results are what pay political dividends. But I think that as fast as the marketplace is changing, as important it is for government to be responsive to those changes and that dynamic nature of that marketplace, we've got to be willing to say, you know, some of our projects may not show the payday over the next 6 months or even the next 6 years, but that does not mean that they're not worthwhile projects for us to get ourselves involved in.
Well, given your unique perspective and your service and your career in public service, I'm curious, what advice would you give to a young person considering a career in public service?
Well, first is just not to discount it. So many times in today's society, the lure of the paycheck of the private sector to be the next dot-com millionaire many times makes certain of our young people as they come out of college or go into their careers to discount public service. The ability to impact lives, the ability to be able to make a difference in their community is a reward within itself. And I think the pay of public service has greatly improved in recent years. I think that's a trend that will continue. I think it's a trend that must continue so that we can compete for the best and the brightest in the public sector. But I think that there is, in addition to that, the reward that comes from making a difference and making a positive difference. So I would hope that any young man or young woman coming out of college, beginning their career today, particularly in this area when there are so many public service opportunities available to them, would at least not discount public service as a possible source for career. And then secondly, I think to involve themselves, in the community, to involve themselves in the decision-making process, because it is important that those of us in the public sector be aware of public issues and community issues and the like. And sometimes young men and young women say, how do I get started? It may be as simple as getting involved in a community organization. It may be as simple as getting involved in a chamber of commerce on a local basis. It may be as simple as participating in the combined federal campaign. But some way to be able to interact with those in the public sector that are always looking for talent, that are always looking for the next generation of the best and the brightest. And I think that you have to get that exposure before you're able to have those opportunities.
Well, that's a good stopping point, because, Dennis, I'm afraid we're out of time. Deborah and I want to thank you for being with us this morning.
Well, it's been a pleasure. And let me just close by saying that if any of your listeners would like additional information about credit unions or about the Access Across America initiative, they can contact our website, which is www.ncua.gov. And we also have a special website for Access Across America, which is www.accessacrossamerica.gov.
Great. Thank you very much. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dennis Dollar, Chairman of the National Credit Union Administration. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's very interesting conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thanks for listening.